Scripture tonight is 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for coming back this evening. I think this morning's sermon was DOA. I realized as I was preaching, it's like, what in the world was I trying to say when I wrote this? So I was as confused this morning as you were. I'm looking to see if you still have the... I know for a while Don had this deer in his headlight look over there. Like, what is he trying to say? I noticed things like that. Quit that, Joe. He still got the look. You think you know 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm saying you think you do. And you may. But in the context of that passage of Scripture, have you ever seen anybody argue over words? Has there ever been anybody that ever said, "What is the meaning of is?" who happened to be president of the United States? Come on. Please. Everybody knows what is. But there have been people that try to use words to wrangle out of situations and get people to follow them and do things that are just absolutely not correct. There is a play on words in this passage of Scripture. It is better seen from the King James, where it says, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Because the word that's on play in this context is the word dividing. Rightly dividing. Bless you, twice. Dividing the word of truth. Just two very simple things tonight. We want to look at the wrong approach first. And in the context, the NIV says, beginning at verse 14, "Keep reminding them of all these things." That is this. God expects us to live faithful lives. He's given us everything that we need to live those faithful lives. And so when you look back to verse 11, it says, here's a trustworthy saying, if we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will also disown us. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. Keep reminding them of these things, of the faithfulness that God expects from each of us, and of the simplicity of the truth. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. There's your word, schism, which is another word for dividing. Schism, schism. And we're going to look at how the Bible portrays that word. But the word that is used in verse 15, rightly dividing, is not the word schism. It's a different word. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. So, but he warns them about quarreling about words. In other words, quarreling to divide. Quarreling to bring schisms, divisions. Some of you might think, well, some of the words that come to mind is the word baptism. How many different kinds of baptisms are there in the religious world today, but how many are there in the biblical world? There's just one baptism in the biblical world, but if you look at the religious world, well, there is Ron Tizo, there is K.O., and there is Bob Tizo. There is pouring over somebody's head, there is sprinkling on somebody, and there is somebody being immersed, and that's the way the world looks at that. But That's really not what he's talking about when he talks about don't quarrel about words. Bob Tiedzo is much more important than Ron Tiedzo or K.O. because Ron Tiedzo and K.O. are never used in the passage of Scripture that say repent and be Bob Tiedzo'd. They're not used. So there is no argument. The truth stands as it always has, that baptism is correct. I want to turn to Acts chapter 14 to look at the wrong approach. There are some people that say, oh, it really doesn't matter what you preach. If you get somebody to believe in Jesus, that's all that's important. Well, what are you going to get them to believe in? Are you going to get them to believe that Jesus is God or that he was a created being? Are you going to get them to believe that he died to save the world? Or are you going to get them to believe that he wears a red suit with the letter S on it and a red cape and he flies around and bullets bounce off of him and he can leap tall buildings in a single bound? What is it that we're going to get people to believe? In Acts chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. They spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. And that's that word that we find in the Greek language, pistuo, which means trusting obedience, which doesn't mean they merely believed. It means that they believed the message and they obeyed the message. But the Jews who refused to believe and obey stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. Here is the word, schizo, schism. It deals with the concept that people have been split apart. Have you ever seen a church that was split? Do you know that most every time it has to do with character of people, and it has to do with opinions of people more than it has to do with the Word of God? Schizo, schism, split. It's almost like a splintering of wood that cannot be repaired. That is the word divided that is found here in Acts 14 and verse 4. That's the wrong approach. Now, our religious world thinks that when everybody comes to the Bible and reads the Bible, well, out of it there are going to be people that are a denomination that begins with the letter B, people that begins with the letter M, people that begins with the letter L, and people that begin with all these other letters. That the Bible, when you come to it, it divides people into separate groups. And that's not at all what the Bible teaches. The Bible is against schisms, against splintering and splitting, as is used in this context. Here's the question. Who did the dividing? Paul and Barnabas, when they preached, a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed, and if they were baptized into Christ, as that word believed leads us to believe they were all baptized into Christ, and there was neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for they were all one in Christ. Who was it that divided? Well, look at verse 2. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Words. They divided people without the truth. Okay? That's the wrong approach. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. It might be interesting to know that this same word that's used here to divide in Acts chapter 14 is also used in Matthew chapter 27 with the death of Jesus. Now, with the death of Jesus, a lot of unusual things happened. There were rocks that schismed. It's the word that's used there. And there was this great big curtain of the temple, and guess what it did? It schismed. That's the word that the Bible says that it was torn in two from top to bottom. But the Greek word there is schism. Schism. Splitting. Splintering. Breaking into pieces. Dividing into factions. The Bible says there in verse 51, with the death of Jesus at that moment, the curtain of the temple was schismed. Torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks schismed. They also were broken apart. Now, truthfully, this is not the kind of schism that God wants in the church. This is not the kind of rightly dividing the truth. Yes, nature has always been put into a position of doing something when God requires it. With the death of Jesus, evidently there were different things that nature understood about the death of Jesus that perhaps people did not, and things happened and there was a division. Now turn one more to Acts chapter 23. Paul is on trial. He's on trial for preaching the truth about Jesus. And he comes to a point where he recognizes that these men are already schismed, that they're already divided, because there's some who are on the Sanhedrin who are Pharisees who believe in the resurrection of the dead. And there are some on the Sanhedrin who are Sadducees who believe that when you're dead, you're like Rover, you're dead all over, life does not continue to go on. And so Paul uses that to his advantage. So we begin reading at verse 6. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." When he had said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was schismed. The schizo. It's divided, it's splintered, it's broken into different factions. The Sadducees say there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. The teaching that Paul brought about in speaking the truth about the resurrection revealed the wrong kind of division. It revealed that there were some who were going to believe the truth and other things, and there were other people that just didn't want to believe the truth because of their personal opinion on things. And so then this schism between the Pharisees and the Sadducees is brought to the forefront. It is revealed. Secondly, let's talk about the right divide. The right divide is not splintering people. In fact, the right divide, although I'm not going to get into this tonight, but at another time, the right divide is using truth to divide people from their sins. Instance, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. After it has been confirmed that God has made this Jesus, whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ, the people said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said, here's the truth on the matter. This is what you do. This brings unity. This divides an individual from his sin. This divides an individual from his death. Repent. And that is plural. Everybody must repent. And let each one of you, singular, be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is not the division that's mentioned in 2 Timothy 2, rightly dividing the word of truth, is not schizo or schisms. It is the word orthotomeo. Have you ever heard of ortho, orthotics? It has to do with the medical field. It has to do with surgery. Anybody here besides me had surgery? A few of us have. This word means to cut straight, to make straight and smooth, almost like a plastic surgeon, where the revealing helps people to be able to see truth. The meaning originally began from the idea of cutting, but it evolved into the more general sense of rightly dealing with a thing. Rightly dealing with a thing. It's kind of like, I know from time to time I use my sister probably a little too much in this regard, but my sister, she could sweep the floor if she wanted to, but if she did, she would flip the rug back and sweep all the stuff under the rug and then flip the rug down, and here was this pile under the rug. Or when it was time to do the dishes, she would take the dishes out in the backyard and hide them in the trees and in the rose bushes. Would you say that's really the right way to deal with things? You know what happens after a while of hiding the dishes outside? You run out of dishes. You have to go buy more. That's not the right way of dealing with things. What is intended here is not dividing Scripture from Scripture. Now, some people will use this to say, well, see, we have to know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that's what Paul is writing about here in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. That is absolutely not the point that he is making. What he is meaning is that we have to understand that we must teach Scriptures accurately, which then brings division. It divides man from sin. It divides man from death. It divides man from man's words, which bring schisms. That's what man's words bring whenever we wrangle and argue about things. So we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read verses 14 through 19, and I think you'll get a better understanding of this. Keep reminding them of these things about being faithful. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. You see, godless chatter, not God's word, but man's opinion. That's what godless chatter, or old wives' tales, or myths. Because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Because truth separates people from wickedness. Okay, so then, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 16. As Paul concludes this book, he gives some stern warning. I mean, yes, he mentions about a lot of people that he knows, that, you know, greet these people. I commend to you Phoebe. I commend to you a bunch of other people. You know, they have helped me along the way. Things like that. But you get down to verse 17. And it says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions. There's the schism that we've talked about earlier. And put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you have learned. Keep away from them. You see, one thing happens: truth always unites. People who believe the truth, who obey the truth are united in that truth. But one thing that he was telling them is we have to be aware of this fact. There are people in the world who will use whatever they can to divide God's people. And so in Romans, the 16th chapter, he talks about using people who use things that are not the Scriptures. Again, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you've learned. Folks, there's a lot of that that needs to happen today. There are a lot of false teachers in the Lord's church that need to be marked as false teachers and not listened to again because they are false teachers. Turn in your Bibles to Acts, the 17th chapter. Starting at verse 10. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. You talk about people with the right frame of mind, with the right attitude about the Scriptures, and people who are united together because they rightly divided the Word of truth. They rightly applied the teaching of the Word of truth. The Bereans were those people. And those are the kind of people that we want to be. Which means we cannot fellowship those people who say that there is no God. We cannot fellowship those people who say that a person doesn't have to repent and be baptized. We cannot fellowship people who get tangled up in the world and they want to change the message to soften it, to make more people allowable to come into Christ so that, well, all you have to do is believe. That's what they say. Well, what they're trying to do is they're just trying to open the door wider and to get more people in, but there's a problem. The problem with that is truth. Truth does not permit such a thing. Truth defends the gate. Truth closes the door to those people who will not obey, who will not believe. But truth keeps us in where God wants us to be. Again, in 2 Timothy 2, where he says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing, not wrongly dividing, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there's the play on words. In the context, he's talking about that word, divide. Now, unfortunately, some of these false teachers who have gone out from us have said, well, you're just drawing lines where the Lord didn't draw lines. Really? My intent has never been to draw any line the Lord didn't draw first. But you see, when the Lord drew a line, He expects us to uphold that line, doesn't He? He expects us to live with that line in retrospect. For instance, in Acts the 17th chapter, the Bible says that God overlooked ignorance in the past. In verse 30, He says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. I didn't draw that line. I just read it to you or quoted it to you. I didn't draw that line. God drew that line. That line is not erasable. But the religious world believes it is. And some from our own fellowship who have gone out would say, you're drawing lines where the Lord didn't draw. No, I'm not. Just trying to rightly divide the word of truth. I'm trying to allow the word of truth to be applied correctly. That's what the meaning is. Again, let me read it one more time. That word, orthotomeo, means to cut straight, to make straight and smooth. The meaning passed from the idea of cutting or dividing to the more general sense of rightly dealing with a thing. What is intended here is not dividing Scripture from Scripture, but teaching Scripture accurately. That's all we want to do. Because the beauty of teaching Scripture accurately is, Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of salvation for all who believe, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for in the gospel a righteousness of God is revealed. In fact, it's the righteousness of God is revealed. So 2 Timothy chapter 2:15 is not saying, okay, we need to know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. No, he's saying we need to know when to apply Scripture correctly. And if anybody believes today that the resurrection has already happened and you're left behind, there is a movie out, by the way, called Left Behind. And there are some television shows that deal with that, that some kid named Kirk Cameron made many, many, many years ago when he was younger. The whole philosophy and concept of Left Behind is unbiblical. See, we're still waiting for the resurrection. I'm not Hymenaeus, I'm not Philetus, and neither are you. Because we are convinced that Jesus is coming back someday. And He's coming back for the faithful. That's a line that God drew. And I'm happy to stand on that line and to live there. So as we think about application of Scripture, we have to make that application. We have to use it not only in the way we worship, but we also have to use it in the way we live so that we can help other people. And by the way, there's some other lines that Jesus told the apostles to write, something about doing good. And today something happened that I was a little surprised about out at Derby Health and Rehab after most people had already left. I think Becky knows Vicky. Vicki had made mention when I asked during the worship time at 2:30, I asked any prayer requests, and Vicki said, I need you to pray for me. I'm going to start tomorrow on some new medical procedures. So afterwards I said, do you mind if I ask, what is it? She just found out this last week she has cancer. And so she said, I am so scared. I don't know what to do. And I said, so you mean tomorrow you're starting cancer treatment and you're not aware? No, I have no idea what I'm going to be going through. I said, well, here's what I know. There's a reason for it. God's still in control. And maybe a doctor needs to meet you to say, you know what? Here's a person who loves the Bible and maybe there's something there that I need to find in that Bible. That's what I told her, and I don't know Vicky that well. I've known her for a couple of years. But you know what? Sometimes people need help, and the Bible tells us the truth, and we need to help them in whatever way we can. We're glad you're here tonight. I hope this sermon made a lot more sense than this morning's sermon. Because tonight we're talking about schisms or orthotomeo. Almost surgery. Have you been divided? Have you been divided from your sins, from your past, from your death, for the sake of Jesus? It's almost the concept of sanctified, being set apart. We hope so, but if there's someone here that has not been sanctified, set apart from their sins by being baptized into Christ, we hope that you'll choose to do that, if not tonight, soon. Before it's everlasting too late. If we can help you though, perhaps bear a burden, say a prayer, or carry a struggle with you. As we stand and sing this song, the invitation is for you to let us know how we can help. Come while we stand and sing.